And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again, first episode of 2026. Happy New Year to all of you listeners out there. You might be wondering, wait, who is this new face on the pod? So we're starting off the pod with a guest this time. I have my guy Harrison from all the way from down under joining on the pod today. Harrison, very, very happy for you to join. And I've been a big fan of Harrison for a while. He's one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. I'm also quite aware that the Australian sneakerhead community is incredibly strong. I know that just from based on how many Australian followers I have. And I'm a big fan of Harrison and his account. And Harrison, man, how are you doing? And just introduce yourself for the people.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, man, it's you've been on my podcast a couple of times, which I'm super appreciative of. So again, trying to make the time difference work. I'm 9 hours ahead of you, so I do appreciate the difficulties that does give us. But yeah, the sneakerhead community in Australia is very, very strong. Josh is very big here in Australia. He's got a big audience, and I mean, you look at some of his recent TikToks and Instagrams, man, you've been killing it, especially with YouTube content. So again, really appreciative to be a part of this Kickback Pod, and yeah, excited to talk about some sneaker trends for 2026.
And before we get started, also for those of you wondering, where is Fobs? Why is he missing? Fobs is he's on a beach somewhere in Thailand right now. He's gonna be there for the next couple of months. And so he's on vacation with his family. He's got another new person that just a new little baby that just joined the family as well. So he's enjoying some quality family time. And so we are very lucky to have Harrison today on the pod. And it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to another year of sneakers. Harrison, actually, like before we get into like some of the main topics. And by the way, guys, today's topic, since we're starting a new year, we're going to be talking about like what are some of the biggest trends that we think will occur in the world of sneakers this year. What are some things we potentially see continuing? What are some new trends we might see? And me and Harrison have a few ideas. But before we get into that, Harrison, I wanted to ask you just a bit about, the Australian sneaker community, which we spoke of. What's it like actually being a sneakerhead in Australia? And before you get started, like I just wanted to tell you some of my assumptions. I assumed that maybe sneakers will be a bit harder to get in Australia, maybe because maybe they don't get all of the hot releases, or maybe you don't get too many pairs of hot releases. I don't even know if there's a sneakers app in Australia. Is there a sneakers app?
Nope, not at all.
No sneakers app. Okay. So that's tough. So, just fill me in a little bit. Like, just let me know your sneaker journey so far. What's it been like, and what's the community like down there?
I'd say it's definitely gotten a lot better in the last, I'd say since 2021, I've noticed a fair more sneakers do actually come to Australia, whether it be on the Nike AU website, which we have to kind of go through instead of a sneakers app, like a release kind of platform. The New Balance website, of course, has gotten a lot more. We used to only get like GRs, Foot Locker kind of is actually not a huge player in the Australian market compared to what they have in America. There's certain stores in America and in the UK and Europe and Germany where you are, which we don't have. We have our own little sort of specific communities and a lot of good boutiques. So that's kind of where a lot of our big releases come, is boutiques like stores such as Up There, Above the Clouds, Supply Store, to name a couple, dotted around Australia, where those are kind of where the collaborations come through, not specifically the official retailers. So it's fun. It's a great community. We have a lot of different tastes. I'd say that Nike is still the biggest, but not so much Jordans. Jordan 1s, Jordan 4s, of course, are big, but, we don't really get many Jordan 11s. Not many people are into those. The retros, like, it's just not a huge culture for that in Australia. There's a huge culture for ASICs. TNs are also a big culture in Australia. So there's a mixed bag. We have our own niches, but, it's getting a lot stronger, I would say, in the last few years with releases.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And I think maybe the brands have noticed that as well. One thing as a casual observer I've noticed is the amount of collabs we're getting from Australian boutiques that you mentioned. Even especially ASICS, you know, ASICS have been doing tons of collabs there, and New Balance has a really long-standing partnership with Up There Store. So yeah, I mean, you can definitely, even as someone living outside of Australia, you can tell like they got something going down there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, first of all, like you mentioned, not only is there a huge time difference between the two of us, like I just woke up, Harrison's getting ready to go to bed actually right now. And besides that, there's also a massive difference in the temperatures between where I am and where you are. So right now we're going to be getting into what have we been wearing lately. We are deep in the middle of winter here in Berlin. We are deep in the middle of summer out there where you are, Harrison. So let me know what's been on your feet lately.
Yeah, as you said, it's definitely hot. We're pretty much, as soon as you get past New Year's, it starts to kind of get pretty disgusting when it comes to humidity and heat, and the sun's just killing me, especially with my kind of, yeah, go ahead.
What's the temperature like over there?
It's 32 today with probably like 80% humidity, I would say. So yeah, it's pretty killer. I think in Melbourne as well, down obviously much further south than I am, they had a record high of 41 yesterday and some bushfires. So it's kind of, we call January like bushfire season in Australia. So yeah, there's definitely some extremes that come around this time of year. So yeah, not very fun.
No, I can imagine. So I assume my wife told me this, that people in Australia like to wear, correct me if the term is correct or not, but I heard people in Australia love to wear thongs, but
yeah, we
they
love
don't
thongs,
refer
yeah.
to they don't refer to the thongs that Cisco was talking about, more so the flip-flops, like you guys call flip-flops thongs, right?
Yeah flip-flop song didn't quite have the same rhyme or so. Now we definitely, a lot of people rock that pretty much the entire year round, because you know there's certain parts of Australia where it doesn't get above 25, so thongs, Birkenstocks, those kind of summer staples are pretty much what everyone wears when it's super hot. But yeah, thongs are a thing here in Australia.
Well, what about sneakers? What sneakers have you been rocking lately?
Like you said, a lot of kind of mesh runners, a lot of lower... Speaking of Australian stores, I have been wearing this one a lot. The Up There ASICS Gel Kyono 12.1. Very nice. This is the green and gray colorway. It's like the first one that they released. They did release a second white one. But yeah, it's super breathable, very comfortable. I pretty much wear ASICS and New Balance for the most of summer. Do rock a couple of Nikes, but again, yeah, trying to keep my feet cool, nice and breathable. So that would be one of them that's been mainly on my feet. Another one would probably be the SB95 from the Eric Kosten pair. Super comfortable, wear this all the time. It looks good beaten up. I've worn it a fair bit. You can see some scuffs on the front toe box there. It looks great, instantly comfortable. Another one, probably the last one that's been on my feet a lot, is the Action Bronson 992. Just love wearing this pair. Again, summer, loud, pink, purple. You know, it's just a beautiful pair. One of my favorite pairs from last year. And yeah, I think that's a good wrap up of what I've mostly been wearing. I try and wear a different shoe every day, but I tend to fall back to those ones most occasions.
Wow. Okay. That's one hell of a rotation. I got comments on all of those shoes. The 12.1s, that's an interesting silhouette, right? Like it seems to have gotten some level of traction over the last year. Are you planning on getting the Kith 12.1s? Or actually, does Kith even ship to Australia?
It does ship to Australia. I've gotten, I've gotten five pairs of Kith shoes. For those that didn't know, I'm also very imminently having a baby. You were speaking about Fabs having a baby, and I was like, I need to text him and get some tips about being a dad. He's been a dad for the twice, and I'll be the dad for the first time. So I probably won't be able to pick up any of those Kith pairs because we're expecting some things to buy some pretty soon.
Of course.
So, but I do know the Kith pairs you're talking about. Those three pack. It's well, three different colorways of the 12.1. Man, they look good. Whew. Kith just starting 2026 off with a bang.
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like the lowest tier possible. I don't know what the names are, but that, it seems like they got the best colorway.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Okay, cool. The Action Bronson Purpurea, I was surprised when I polled my audience last year to give me your best shoes of the year, and it was just like a free text box that I let them type in whatever. And I was so surprised to see the Purpurea landed in the fifth spot for the best sneakers of 2025, which said something. Like, that's a lot of people love that shoe, right? And it's so unique. It's definitely the best Bronson pair from last year, I think.
Could it have been the recency bias, perhaps, that it was
that
later in the year that it was released?
I'm sure that has something to do with it, but it's still shocking to see. I was surprised to see a lot of shoes not make the top five, but this Purpurea pair managed to.
Best of his year. I think that the 990 V6 was pretty good. That Untitled and the Amazonia was still pretty good. They were pretty good too.
Yeah, and the SB95s, I like this Costin colorway way more than the first one.
I mean, I would have loved to get the first one, but yeah, I said it. Well, I didn't settle, but I instantly picked this one up for sure. Yeah,
for sure. So on my side, like I mentioned, it's the middle of winter, and it's been actually we've had an Arctic blast, they're calling it. So the weather has been bitterly cold. So the last week and a half, every day has been between like -8 to -15 in terms of temperature. So when it's that cold, there's literally just one pair of shoes I wear when it's that cold, and that's my pair of the North Face Glencliff Low, which is basically like think of like a North Face jacket but for your feet. It's like the super padded, super insulated. It looks like a down jacket, but it's on your feet, and it's the only pair I've been wearing because any other pair, I can't even feel my foot. I can't even feel my toes. Like it's like painful. Yeah. It's that cold. Yep. So mesh sneakers, that kind of thing, I just can't do it. So I've been pretty much just exclusively wearing my pair of North Faces. And I mixed in there the Undefeated Fours just because when I was doing my end of year list, I noticed that for me, it was the number one shoe that came out last year, my favorite pickup of the year. And I thought, okay, I probably need to wear it more, you know. It's my favorite shoe. I should wear it a few more times before the year closes off.
Yeah.
So I was rocking that as well. But I just can't wait for this weather to change, man, because I want to start wearing my sneakers again. Because right now, and probably for the next week as well, I'm probably just going to be wearing my North Face.
And it's snowing, yeah? Like proper
heavy
snow.
Yeah, it's been
snowing.
It's been proper heavy snow, like 15 centimeters of snow. It's been like a really brutal winter so far, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think we could be on any further of extremes in terms of weather. That's like ridiculous. Like, can we try and meet somewhere in the middle, maybe get like a nice 22 degree day or something? That'd be nice.
What's the weather like in April, actually? Because I'm planning to come to Australia in April.
April's okay. I'd say Easter is when it starts to get cool, especially where I am. It probably starts to get cooler maybe in about March down south in Sydney, Melbourne, that sort of area. But yeah, where I am, it starts to get cooler maybe late April. So yeah, good time of weather. It's autumn.
Perfect timing.
Autumn is what we would say it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Perfect timing then. Yeah. Okay, so and then what about pickups? Have you picked up anything recently, maybe around the Christmas period?
I did manage to get a pair on sale. I've had one Black Friday sale. It was very good this year. I only picked up one thing over that was on sale for Black Friday. It was the Saucony and End collab on the Shadow 6000. The olive, Peace Unity Olive, I think was the name of it. Very beautiful suede on there. Put the fuzzy pink laces in. I don't know how much I love it, but yeah, it's cool. I really love, my favorite part is the embroidered olive on the on the other side for the Saucony logo.
That's really nice.
So yeah, that really looks really awesome. They also had like a ProGrid Omni 9 in like an all white. very, very cool detail. It was very nice. It's still like available for people in the UK and Australia to get like on sale. So super cool that that one was still available. Another one that you might be familiar with was the Basket Case 204L. Really, really nice.
Such a nice pair.
Obviously piggybacking off the success of the mushroom or the like lighter brown colorway. They've had mesh pairs that haven't done that well, but this one was an instant like hit. I think it sold out basically instantly. Grabbed these from End Clothing again, done a bit of a End haul, I guess. But yeah, I've settled on the red laces on these, got a couple of different laces. The hiking style things are a little bit interesting. They come undone a little bit quickly if you try and tighten them up. So pros and cons, but they do look pretty cool. So big fan of those. And one more, a little bit of a 2025 pickup, but it just came in, was the ABC and Fantastic Four and Puma shoe, garnering a lot of attention at the moment. I got the Mr. Fantastic pair. So yeah, this was interesting. The whole release, I don't know how much you want me to talk about this.
Like, did you, I remember you were telling me that you had to wait a long time to get this pair. And you didn't know which of the four you would get, right?
So yeah, there was seven different pairs you could get, and six of them were really, really like, well, not six of them were more available. The Galactus pair, which is a villain in Fantastic Four, he was very limited. I've only seen one person get that, like that I've seen. But yeah, it's basically blind unboxing. No idea what you're going to get. And yeah, I got the Mr. Fantastic pair. You've seen other people around getting the Thing was a really cool one. Human Torch was a really cool one. They've got lots of little details on them. It's really cool. Like, you got the ABC logo, you got the Marvel logo. Like, all the branding's pretty cool. And I'm pretty happy with this one. There's a couple, like the Invisible Woman was completely clear on the outer. Like
wow,
absolutely
that's cool.
Clear plastic, which is cool. But I was like, I don't want to wear that. And then the Silver Surfer one was all completely chrome, like outer, like literally just silver. And I was like, there's like a whale, like the Wales Bonner kind of pair of those Adidas Sambas. And I was like, there's no way I could wear that. So I'm very glad that I ended up getting this one. But yeah, gonna be dropping a review on these because there's a lot to say.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me you were super frustrated with the lack of information and how long it took to actually get that pair.
Yeah,
but that's pretty cool. But that's also like kind of risky, you know, especially since two of those pairs, like, you absolutely would not want. So you're just kind of like nervous, you know, unboxing your shoe. Yeah. Which one could it be?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of pairs go up on eBay, actually, like tons go up on eBay and resale sites because people are trying to offload them or trade. I've had people DM me like asking if I wanted to trade. So yeah, it's kind of not a failure, I would say. The product is cool, but just the process, I feel, you know, the operation was a success, but the patient died, I suppose you could say.
Well said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I also had some pickups. So in terms of the sales, I did a reel on this too. So I went pretty crazy on the kit sale. For myself, I bought 3 pairs. For my wife, I bought 4 pairs. But she actually didn't like any of the pairs I got her except for one. So I'm returning the others. she was like, why don't you spend this money on something I actually want?
Oh, no.
Fair point. Yep. Fair point. But yeah, because I'm such a sneakerhead, you know, I assume she wants all these sneakers too. Like, I'm like, hey, you really don't
this is
want
cool.
this hit. You don't want this hit in New York Gel Venture 6. Yeah. Like, don't you know about these? Like, wow. Trust me, you need this.
Yeah. That reminds me of the meme of the guy standing in the corner being like, they don't know that I'm wearing the hidden Gel Venture 6.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to push it on her, but yeah, she's like, no, just return this. But as far as the ones I picked up for myself, I was very excited. I got the Clot Adidas Superstars, the Chinese New Year one, which was really, really interesting looking pair. I got it just for 60 euros and it's originally 200. So that's crazy steal in my size. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for that because I will be, as part of that Australia trip in April, I'll be in China before that actually for a couple weeks. So I want to like maybe wear this pair in China. I always like to associate shoes with like places and memories. So that's the plan. So I was excited about that pair. And then I also picked up a pair of Vans. It was a Vans and Neighborhood collab. It's just like a plain all white pair, but it has a lot of details from Neighborhood, a lot of text on there, the Neighborhood branding. I should have like had it with me, but it's in the other room, so I'll just put it up on the screen so you guys can see. So that's a great pair because I've always been a fan of Vans and actually I picked up another Vans too, which I'll talk about a bit later. And the last one I picked up was, it was the pair of the Merrells, the Merrell Moab. It's basically this mule that kind of looks like a pair of Bottega Veneta's. Like it's got this basket weave leather pattern on it, which is super interesting. And I got that. All of these shoes, all three shoes combined, I paid like €140. So that's like a crazy, crazy good steal. So yeah, I was happy with that. The other pair of Vans that I picked up that I was talking about was the Vans Pearlized Pack. Mm-hmm. It's Vans, as you know, right now is kind of in a super hype phase, I would say. Mm. Probably the most hype it's had in a year, maybe even like a decade. Even though they've always been around, but we haven't seen Vans reselling. We haven't seen Vans selling out instantly like they have been recently. And this Vans Pearlized Pack, I really, really like it. It's kind of like grunge rock kind of aesthetic to it with all those pins and pearls on there. So I picked that up, and I picked it up in the white colorway. So it's something that I can definitely wear in the summertime. There was another pair of shoes that I picked up, which I don't have in hand yet because UPS lost my package and they're looking for it right now. I would have already had a review for this by now if they delivered it to me on time. It's the Nike Mind 001.
Yeah.
You've seen
all
those,
over
right?
My timeline. All over. I feel like everyone's picked up that pair. They're already sold out in Australia. And yeah, it was not on my radar at all, but they look wild.
So I picked it up mainly because I was very interested to see if what they're saying was true, right? Because they spent 10 years developing this shoe, and there's a special department in Nike, which is called the Mind Science Department, which who knew even existed, to be honest. This department spent 10 years developing this shoe. It's supposed to, it has like 22 different sensors on the underbed that makes you feel the ground and makes you feel more connected with the earth. That's what they're saying. So I wanted to see that because maybe like, okay, shoes that are good for my mental health. Okay. That's a strong sales pitch, but let's see if it's actually true. So I was excited to try those out for myself. So I managed to pick that up, but haven't received it yet. But I will do a full review and you'll see it on the channel. So looking forward to those. And the last pair that I picked up, I'm going to do a reel about these. So this brand just came across while I was scrolling through Instagram. I'm not going to lie. It's called Gully Labs. And it's a brand that's actually based out of India. It's an Indian sneaker brand. I was very, very excited about this because I'm a sneakerhead myself, and also my background is Indian. And it's really, really interesting to see an Indian sneaker brand. And then I thought, are they actually good though? I looked them up, and it turns out like every single one of their pairs have such a nice story to them, like stories inspired by Indian culture. The pair I picked up is called the Badam Kulfi, which if you know anything about Indian desserts, kulfi is like maybe the goat of desserts. Like it's one of my favorite desserts ever. It's basically like a pistachio ice cream. And they basically created this whole shoe based off of this pistachio ice cream. And like it's super detailed. The box is so detailed. It comes with these extra accessories as well. And I was so, so impressed with this pair. And I kind of felt like a bit of like Indian pride too, you know, to see like my culture represented in a shoe like that. I will be doing like a Instagram reel on this brand and this shoe. So look for that soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them now. I just looked them up and they look pretty premium. They got some nice, like a low top cut. Like it's pretty cool. I like the colorway too. The pistachio off green. Nice. Some cracked leather on there as well.
Yes, yes. And very, very affordable. Like I paid, including shipping to Germany, my pair was like €90, I think. A fully leather pair with a lot of accessories and everything. Like, that's very, very affordable for a pair of shoes. So those were all my pickups, guys. So now we get to go into our big topic, which is what are some of the big sneaker trends we see happening in 2026? 2025 was a very, very interesting year in sneakers, I would say. And in 2026, I personally see a lot of the trends continuing and some trends becoming even bigger. So my first trend is I have Gorpcore on here. Specifically, I mean, I don't just mean Salomons when I'm talking about this, although most people think of Salomons. I just mean anything hiking related. If there's one thing I've noticed, like one kind of movement that's happening with Gen Z right now, is this whole movement to disconnect. It's becoming kind of like a flex to show I spend this amount of time offline this week. I've disconnected from social media for a month. And people are now, you know, wanting to be connected with nature. They want to spend some time outdoors. And doing that comes with like a certain look, I think. You know, it's like, it's almost become kind of like a flex to show off how much, you know, Gore-Tex you're wearing and like what types of like trail running shoes you're wearing.
And I
see these brands, especially Salomon, especially on sneakers, any brands that have to do with like trail running, have specialized in trail running, I see these brands really connecting with the younger demographic. To go with that, I would say like hiking boots, hiking shoes. These have been flying. I've noticed in particular Salomon here in Europe has been absolutely on fire, like recently. Even though this brand has been popular for a while, recently, I mean, you can't even get nice colorways for a retail price, let alone waiting for it to go on sale. They're just selling out, you know, like people are kind of really into that whole vibe right now. And I definitely see that continuing next year.
I think that's very similar actually in Australia. Like you're kind of on the nose there with Salomon being, it's very visible in a lot of sneaker stores, like Foot Locker. Like you'd think Foot Locker's kind of a Jordans,
wow,
and
really?
Nikes, but you can see, like Salomons have rows in Foot Locker, in like JD Sports. Those are sort of there as well. And also in like places called, it's called Hype DC. It's kind of like a Champs, I suppose, you can think of an equivalent in America. It's like not a boutique, but it's not like a basic shoe retailer, but they have walls of Salomons. And like Merrell's on there as well. So yeah, it's definitely a big thing in Australia here as well.
Yeah, Merrell. I didn't mention Merrell, but that's another big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
So I can see this trend continuing. I don't see people suddenly saying, okay, I'm going back on social media now. I think this trend to move away, people being just kind of overwhelmed with the amount of propaganda and news online, I can see like people wanting to be outdoors, and the shoes that go along with it, I see that continuing. I'll let you go now. What's one big trend you see?
Like you said, trying to figure out a trend of coming up is pretty hard. I think that there were some things that happened in 2025 that I definitely wouldn't have thought would continue from 2024. So it's trying to figure that out is a little bit hard, but we'll have a bit of a stab. And one thing that I see is the women's exclusive sneakers and colorways. A lot of the, say for example, low cut kind of ballet style, there's literally specifically like a Puma Speedcat ballet designed to be worn by women. And a lot of sneaker stores in Australia, there's one that comes to mind, which I actually have right here, the Finesse store, ASICS, from the Gel Cumulus 16. This was a women's only store that released a sneaker, their first signature sneaker with ASICS. And it's a store that's owned and run completely by women. So they are definitely a big exponent of female sneakerheads. Like the person who owns it is a really got a great sneaker collection. And they definitely specialize in bringing in a lot of like female colorways, but also like silhouettes, like the Adidas, you know, Taekwondo, very low profile sneakers. They, you know, that's something that I see. And I think women having their own specific lane is probably a way to get them into sneakers as well. Not only just copying whatever guys do, you know, obviously sneakers are a very male-driven thing most of the time. But I think that's something that I see continuing. It was getting pretty big in 2025, I feel. I was seeing a female sneaker, I suppose you can call it that, almost every couple of weeks releasing. And now I think it's going to continue in that sort of vein with the women's exclusive colorways and styles.
Yeah, that's a very, very good observation. And also that pair you just showed off, the Finesse Asics, I heard that there's going to be a wider Asics release for that in February worldwide. So I saw that pair on, I forgot her name. There's definitely like a sneaker YouTuber who's based out of Australia, Monsieur Banana, I think. Is that her
name? Yeah, Monsieur Banana. She's from Melbourne. Yeah,
right. I think I saw her post the shoe and I was like, whoa, what? That's a really nice colorway. Wow. And then I found out it's a collab. So I hope there's big sizes of those. But I think you're absolutely right. Like there's been a focus from a lot of the sneaker brands to develop these women's, let's say, targeted at women, different silhouettes, especially even from Nike. Last year, they focused on this one called Air Max Muse, I think it's called, the Muse. Yep.
There was a few wild colorways of that one.
Yeah, definitely. But I actually thought that was one of Nike's best shoes last year. Last year I was even at a panel with Nike, and they were just showing a bunch of different models that they're planning to release throughout the year. And I told them straight up, like, this Muse one is excellent. Like, you guys knocked it out of the park with this one. It's one of the best like Air Max inspired models I've seen. And it was a big hit with women who are into streetwear, especially here in Berlin. I saw that pair a lot. I can see this definitely. I mean, like you said, it's this whole sneakerhead world is so dominated by mainly like interest from men, but we are seeing women, you know, occupy, let's say, more than 5%, like maybe it's like 10, maybe 15% now, in terms of like interest, right? I even see that in my analytics, like which I look through very closely.
Great
point. Another trend that I see is performance running, right? So as someone who got into running last year, I really noticed one thing, which is just how much of community there is in this running space. There's running clubs. There's this app, of course, Strava, which is, people say it's basically to show off, you know, how much you're running on there, but I feel like people use it for other reasons. But Strava, like that there's so many run clubs on there. There's such a huge community around running, and that of course comes with, you know, flexing your latest running kicks. And I think that's part of the reason why the Adidas Evo SL last year was such a huge hit. It was one of the highest selling shoes of the year. Similarly with Nike, with the Vomero 18s, I believe they had a great run with the Vomero 18s in the running communities. New Balance with the Fuel Cell V5, I think. That one too, major hit. And it's going with my first point, which is like people want to be more outside, people want to be more active. And these types of shoes, I feel like, are going to be much more popular than your just basic lifestyle trying to flex like a new colorway of lifestyle shoe. I feel like people are moving more towards, I'm buying shoes for a specific purpose now, which is I want to be out in the trails, or I want to be running in them. So I see these kind of trends continuing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it kind of actually piggybacks off my second trend that I kind of saw, was people wearing high performance brands, not only just for, you know, running purposes, but for lifestyle. Like, you think of On, huge, especially in like Southeast Asia, Australia as well. On has got huge amount of presence. Like, I went to the Philippines last year, and there was literally like an On store in every single mall. It was huge. I actually saw them in resale stores, like consignment stores. There were some On collabs with like Loewe, I think you could pronounce it, L-O-E-W-E.
Loewe.
Sorry. Loewe, they had collabs with them, and they were sitting in consignment stores. So people clearly interested in those. You know, you've got Satisfy, a French brand, Hoka, of course, and then like brands like Norda, who have very highly, you know, expensive sneakers, but very, very good quality sneakers. And seeing them in like a bunch of boutiques, and you can wear them for lifestyle, but also for performance. And I think that's a trend of that that world is going to become more blurry. People are going to have more crossover between lifestyle and performance.
Absolutely. And that point you mentioned about On being incredibly popular in places you wouldn't really expect. And for me, yeah, I noticed the popularity of On in Asia was unreal. I was in Tokyo last year on Harajuku Street, which is like maybe not Harajuku Street. Harajuku is an area, but in Omotesando, like on part of Harajuku, where all the boutiques, where all the stores are, like everything Adidas, On, every store you can think of. And the On store was the only store that had a huge lineup of people before the store even opened, like a massive lineup. Yeah. And in order to even enter the store, you had to like book an appointment and come back like four hours later just to be able to like view the store. Like it's just an On store. And I was like, this is insane. Like it's the only store here that has like this kind of traffic. So I was shocked, man.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. It's huge. And obviously people like nurses and people on their feet every day swear by On.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've worn, the On Cloud Tilt. It's a different feeling compared to other sneakers for sure. Like it does kind of feel like you're not even on the ground anymore. It kind of feels like you're on some like pillow when you're walking, you know. It's nice. It feels great. I'll be honest though, I've just never been a fan of how they look. That's my main issue with On sneakers. Another big trend I see coming, as you probably know, this year is the World Cup, the football World Cup, soccer World Cup, as some people say. Maybe this year it's going to be called the Soccer World Cup because it's in North America. I see that these football-inspired shoes, I see brands doing probably some huge marketing around these type of models this year, especially. We kind of saw something similar last year. You know, you remember there was like this whole trend of people wearing football boots in like to go outside, which is weird.
Cleats only summer or boots only summer, I think it was
called.
Boots
only summer, boots only summer, But I see that kind of continuing this year, not with the football boots, not with the football cleats, but more so with these football models like the T90, which I think was a huge hit for Nike last year when they made that lifestyle version of the T90. And of course, like no other brand is better at doing these kind of models than Adidas, right? Like I think we'll see these T-toe type of shoes, like the Gazelles, the Sambas. I know people people are saying these models are dead. I don't think that's true at all. Like it might be dead online on your screens, but not in real life, guys. Nah. You got to go outside, touch some grass. People are wearing Sambas and Gazelles.
For sure.
People are definitely rocking those models, and I think like that's going to continue a lot this year with just how big football bloke core. I see all of that kind of coming back.
Yeah, with the like football jerseys and stuff, like those are obviously going to get a big run when it comes to the World Cup. People are going to be wearing those. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the World Cup. Australia are in the World Cup. So, I mean, almost everyone is, I feel.
They're always in the World teams Cup, now. Though.
Every year since 2005, we've made it, which is pretty cool.
And but they, I don't know how the qualification works for Australia, but do they compete versus Asia, or are they in like a different Oceania bracket?
So our first time we qualified in 2005, which is actually the second time ever in history we qualified, we were doing Oceania. We had to play like Uruguay in a playoff, but after that, for every other World Cup, we've played in the Asian like qualification. So you know, face South Korea, Japan, China, all those countries. So, yeah, we've had to kind of step our game up a little bit. And like I said, 64 teams now make the World Cup. So it's not that hard to make it these days. I mean, yeah, almost every team. Canada are in it, I think, as well. Obviously, the US, obviously, I mean, all the big nations.
Canada made the World Cup on merit last time, Qatar World Cup. This year, they're in it just because they're one of the hosts.
Yeah, one of the hosts.
Which is fine. They do have a very strong team this year, so I'm looking forward to seeing how they perform. They're called the Socceroos, right? Australia?
Socceroos. Yeah, we are called the Socceroos. Yeah. And our basketball team's called the Boomers. Because that's a nickname for a kangaroo, because they boom along, like they jump. We have the Olleroos, which is the Olympic soccer team. So yeah, we're very Australia, nation specific, animal themed with our name. So Socceroos. I don't think we'll get past the group stage. We're actually playing the USA in the group stage, so there'll be a lot of home support there. But I think Germany had a pretty good group. I think it's probably, I guess, your second team, I suppose, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely support Germany big time. My second team is technically Portugal. I've always supported Portugal as a kid. I do actually have some Portuguese roots as well, so that's part of the reason why. Germany also, like, big time supporter of Germany. But this year, I mean, Jamal Musiala is injured. He's not going to be playing, so... We'll see. Looking forward. We got sidetracked there a little bit by the World Cup, but yeah, I see. We definitely see those kind of models, right? Like, I feel like this summer, it's going to be huge.
I think that you were right when saying that Sambas are still big. My wife only wears Sambas, pretty much. She only wears them. I see, lots of young kids, even like 10, 12 years old, still wearing them. So it's definitely going to be obviously sticking around for a while, even though it's not in the sneakerhead sphere, so to speak.
Exactly. Same with my wife. She's pretty much just wearing Gazelles all the time.
Yeah. I think my third one, I suppose, was my trend that I foresee is kind of new models from new brands getting another chance from consumers. Say, for example, just look at New Balance. You saw the 204L, this one right here. You saw the 2000. You saw the, not too long. What was the other one? There was a couple of other new models from brands that I could think of that got a run and people liked them. And so I think that if a brand's going to bring out another new model like this Nike Mind that you're talking about, people are going to be more inclined to, I guess, give it a try. And that's exciting. Being exposed to new brands and new models is always fun. And I think that there's going to be a lot more innovation coming from those sort of brands.
I love that, man. I love that the consumer has spoken and Nike especially is taking action. Like, Nike cannot just go with its bread and butter strategy that it's had all these years, which is just release the same models and hope people keep buying them. Consumers have spoken, with their wallet. They started spending their money on these brands that they typically don't spend at over the last few years. That's why we've seen the rise, even in the stock prices of these brands. And it's because, I think, like, consumers are just kind of tired of seeing Nike, not do much, like, just give us the same colorways. And now Nike has been kind of stepping up their game. I actually think this year is going to be a very positive year from Nike. They've already had a really good start with this Nike Mind campaign. And even if you watch the marketing for that shoe, it's like vintage Nike. It's like 1990s type of marketing, like when they were just at their finest. Like, I feel like we're going to get the swoosh come back in a big way this year. Let's see. And I think that'll be great for just the sneaker world in general.
It comes in line with their new CEO, kind of the timeline where it takes a while to turn a ship around, I suppose. So, give him a couple of years and I think you'll start to see that change.
Yeah, I mean, he's been with the company since the 90s, so he was there for like their heyday. So, yeah, I'm sure he can bring the feeling back. So, good luck to Elliot, I think his name is.
Elliot Hill,
Elliot Hill, yeah, right. Okay. So I just have two more, couple of smaller trends, I would say. This is an observation that I've just been making. I'm calling it minimalistic shoes. It's not so much people want to have a minimalist look. I think it's just a move away from logos. We're seeing these sneakers that don't have logos do really well in terms of sales volume. Adidas has noticed this last year with the BW Army. I know there's a really tiny logo in there, but you can't really see a logo on that shoe. The BW Army has been a huge hit. Asics then released the Gel Quantum 360 AMP. They did it first with a Jound and then a few more colorways after that. All those shoes have no traditional Asics logos on there. It's just a blank canvas almost.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, I love that shoe. I bought two colorways of it and I'm probably going to buy more. It's a great pair. then we started to see in towards the end of last year and now this year, we've seen Nike started to do this. Nike first released a version of the Pegasus Premium without a swoosh. And like people liked how that one looked. And now I just saw that there's going to be a pair of Vomero 5s coming out, which don't have a swoosh, just a swooshless Vomero.
That's the old brown leather, I think.
Exactly. Right? The all brown leather one, a swooshless Vomero. Yeah. And it might be a smaller trend, but I feel like brands might be catching on to the fact that people don't want these big logos on their feet anymore. And let's try doing something a little different. So I see this trend becoming bigger and bigger. Well, let's see if that's true. I'm calling it here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fair enough. I do like the Quantum 360 as well. That's actually the logo, the more lack of logo, the change of logo, whatever one you want to call it, was one of my big selling points on it. Also, the comfort is great as well. So love that one.
Exactly. So let's see if other brands start capitalizing on this. Like, let's see if we see New Balance maybe do some logo-less shoes. That'll be interesting.
I mean, that's a bit harder to predict because the logo is so prominent. Like, it's just a big N.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a bit harder.
If you take the N out of the New Balance 574, you have the sneaker emoji on your iPhone, right? Because that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. You have like seven pairs from Skechers. That's what you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, see, that's a fine line, you know. It's like someone left a comment on the video I made about the logo-less Pegasus Premium. He said that this just looks like those pairs you see on DHgate, you know, where they don't show the logo on the Jordan 1. I couldn't like unsee it afterwards. I'm like, yeah, man, it does kind of look like that.
Yeah, it's a fine line. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the last trend I see is this is more of just a continuation of last year. These mesh runners, you know, these mesh runners like ASICS, like New Balance 530, New Balance 740. These are pairs that we see last year. The data says they were the top selling shoes of the year, right? Like StockX said that the number one selling shoe on their platform was the ASICS Gel 1130. I think that's just going to continue this year. I think people have moved to a point where they just value comfort, and these simple mesh runners are priced really affordably, like around $100. And people want that. People want to be not spending $150, $200 on an uncomfortable shoe. They'd rather go for these cheaper ones. So I see this trend continuing.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, the mesh runners has, of course, been a big trend for a while. And living in a hot climate, it's almost a necessity to be wearing them. It's kind of, I have to. I didn't put it on our, I guess, pre-show thing, but I guess I had one or two, just really small ones. Probably one thing that's going to go away, I'd say, would be the last trend is the 9060 from New Balance, a shoe that's been everywhere. I've been starting to notice less and less of them, not only in the sneaker stores, but just on people's feet. Basically, if you went to a mall, you would see like almost everyone wearing a pair of 9060s from New Balance.
Fair point.
Gonna start seeing that dial off a little bit. Same with like the DN8. I think you're gonna see the end of the DN and the DN8. It's gonna start to see the fall off of that. Just a small little trend there. So those are a couple of things that I see, I guess, falling off in 2026.
DN8. I'm sorry. I don't know who this is gonna offend, but an absolute abomination of a sneaker. I do not like that shoe whatsoever.
And I feel bad for someone like Palace had a collaboration on them, and like Pata had a collaboration on them,
also,
and they just and no one bought them. Like, they're still sitting on sale now, and it's just like, it's the model, it's not the collaborator, it's just the model that everyone hates.
Yeah, I don't even think Virgil could have saved that one, man. I don't even think anyone could be saving that. That silhouette. It's just not. I hope Nike just puts it in its archive and doesn't bring it back.
Yeah, good call.
But that's a good observation about the 9060. Yeah, that was the it shoe, I would say, over the last year, or like over the last 2 years, I would say. I would see it all the time, but I'm seeing less of it now as well. Good observation. So those were some of our main sneaker trends for the year. Those of you guys listening, let us know in the comments too if you see any or foresee any other trends happening this year, and which trends do you see even just completely disappearing. We didn't mention Yeezy at all, but I feel like it's too late to kind of mention them because I feel like they disappeared. It's been like over a year, maybe even 2 years now that has been disappeared. You never see anyone wearing Yeezys anymore, right? Even though they're great shoes, but you just don't see it. Yeah,
I think I've maybe got one pair left. That's all I've got. I've kind of sold off a couple others. I think I've got one pair of like the 700s.
Yesterday I was doing an inventory of all the shoes I had, and I only have two pairs of Yeezys. I have the Wave Runners and I have the 700 V2 cream. That's it.
Yeah, it just doesn't quite hit like it used to.
Yeah, but maybe one day it'll just come back like Dunks, you know? Like they'll be like the most hype thing you can get.
New generation that doesn't know that it was associated with Kanye West. They'll be like, that's just true. An Adidas shoe.
Yeah. Okay, so those are all our trends. We'll now end off the episode just talking about some upcoming releases really quickly. Mm-hmm. So there's just a few here that I outlined that are dropping in the next 2 or 3 weeks. First is on January 12th. We already mentioned this, the Kith Loyalty exclusive, the 12.1. We're getting three colorways here, blue, pink, and a beige one. Personally, I think I'm in the tier that has access to the pink one. So I'm going to go for that one because I like that one the most. But I also think that the beige one is probably 1B, you know, or 1A, however you say that. But it's a great great collab as usual with Kith. We also have the New Balance Absorb 2000, a different version of this shoe dropping. It's have you seen this, the silver metallic one?
Shout out Yu Wei from Flying Asparagus on Instagram, the designer of this one. He's done an awesome job with the overlays on this all silver shoe. It's super cool.
Yeah, and there was a black colorway also dropping the same day. So the silver and the black are dropping on the same day. It looks very different than all the Absorb 2000s we've seen so far. To me, it looks like little, like, you know, those things that Batman throws.
The little like the stars, ninja stars.
Yeah, exactly. Kind like of, they, it looks like the shoe has a bunch of those Batman ninja things all over it.
Yeah,
like I think it looks great.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing those in hand. Yep. And shout out to Yue, like you said, one of the best designers at New Balance for sure. We also have on January 17th, the Jordan 4 Flight Club, which I was kind of dumb to think that this was a collab with Flight Club, the brand that does you know, like the reselling store, but it's not. It has to do with a history of Jordan brand, and they used to have a club called the Fight Club back in the Flight Club back in the 90s, and it's kind of an homage to that club. Interesting. It looks pretty simple looking colorway, like just white and black. You have any thoughts on it?
I mean, we're breaking the one rule of Flight Club. We're talking about Flight Club. What are we doing? But no, this is a very nice, clean, white, cream colorway with the, I think one of the things I noticed about it was the stitching on the tongue. Like it's got like double, triple stitching on the tongue, around the toe box with like where the white suede is. It's got like extra stitching and stuff. It's got a nice little patch on the tongue. I mean, I think that these will probably sit. I don't think these will sell out. It'll be a pretty kind of slow selling shoe, let's say that.
Yeah, but it's a pretty wearable colorway though. It looks like kind of like the military blacks, right? So it tells you a little bit about like the lack of hype of Jordan brand right now, that a super wearable Jordan 4 like this could potentially sit. But it doesn't take anything away from the fact that it's a pretty wearable, nice looking colorway. And the last pair to talk about is the Shea 001, the gray pair, or the Aries gray. It's named after his son. I will say, like, the one thing I don't understand about these Sheas so far is that why is every pair just one color, like monotone? because I feel like there's so many, there's different panels on the shoe. They can do a different color midsole. They can they can do something a bit more exciting with these shoes. And instead, we keep getting these one tone, one monotone look. But it's,
I mean,
it's,
you saw
I
the
like
Christmas
the gray pair,
pair.
Though.
You saw that Christmas pair, right? The one with the red. That had the tiny hits of green, right? Like that had a little bit of green on it. And then you had that championship one that he wore, which had like tones of gold and white. Like they could do something like that. Like something kind of two-toned like that, but they're not, which is interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see if there's going to be more of those dropping in the future, like more two-tone colorways, because I know people have been asking for that. I think recently, I think Nikhil Alexander Walker recently made a mention of that in an interview, but we'll see. Looking forward to seeing what Shea does. It looks like he's having another MVP season. So
was there also there we'll was also this. A white pair, wasn't there as well, Josh?
Yes, yes.
I saw a white pair.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but the white one has already had an early release in Europe, and it will be releasing more widely, I think, in a couple of weeks.
I need to try a pair. Like I've missed out on all three of the releases that they've had so far in Australia, just because they sell out instantly. So I need to try and work harder to get either that grey pair or the white pair, just to try it out. Have not actually held a pair in hand or tried them on feet yet. So yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck, man. Definitely hope you get one of those colorways. But yeah, that brings us to the end of this episode. Once again, want to give a big thank you to Harrison for joining us today and being a guest on the pod. I really enjoyed having you on the pod and learning a lot about how things are like in Australia. I'm looking forward to personally visiting Australia for the first time this year. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, man.
No worries.
For everyone listening in. Yeah, for everyone listening in to, like I said, Happy New Year. And we'll see you in the next one. Ciao, guys.
Peace.
Peace. Awesome, man.